Welcome to Worst Case Scenario, a podcast about anxiety. I'm one of your hosts, Yusung.
I'm the other host, Rebecca.
And this is a podcast where we talk, we pride ourselves on professionalism and being able to get through a sentence without starting, but each week we
fail at that. And
we bring in an anxiety, we talk about it, and then we read a scene that we've written that's the worst case scenario for that anxiety.
Loosely.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Full disclosure. I ate a bad pear today. My stomach hurts.
Oh no.
And I understand any reasonable adult would be able to like be strong about this because it's a relatively easy thing to be strong about. Mm. I cannot be strong. I am fully losing.
Don't bully yourself. Don't be so hard on yourself. Mm-hmm. Food sensitivity is for all ages. Mm-hmm. And I don't really understand what you mean by bad pear. But right. Also, like, do you want some Tums?
No, I'm okay. It was just like a pear that truly looked okay. No signs of danger.
What kind of pear was it?
Okay,
like
here's
the
thing.
What type of pear?
My parents, when they were in town, they bought me these pears from an Asian supermarket.
Those are my favorite pears.
They're very crispy.
Yes, they're super crispy.
Right. Little did I know, I would have this type of reaction to it.
Was the one that you... Was it still crispy when you ate it? Or yeah. Was it like post-crispness?
No, it was super crispy. It tasted...
Then what the hell is going on?
I don't know.
Those are like good for your stomach, aren't they?
I don't know. I also had top ramen.
Oh.
Wait. But like in terms of what's irregular from my diet,
right,
definitely
the pear. The pear. So the introduction of like a fresh fruit with some vitamins in it.
Yeah, fucked me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not processed enough.
No. My fault. Okay. That's not my anxiety.
I'm really sorry.
It's okay.
I love those pears so much.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Now I really want one.
You can have my other one.
No, not after it gave you a stomach ache.
All right. That's fair. I'm probably going to... Maybe I'll still eat it. Okay. Here's my anxiety for the week.
Okay.
I think I'm too judgmental.
I was thinking about this morning. You're not about you. Just about judgment, being judgmental in general.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And I know at, like... me at my altar, like at the end of my life, and that's loosely what my scene is. Mm-hmm. Foreshadowing.
Yeah, you, that's like a reoccurring theme for you, by
right.
The way,
I'm not religious, but like all my scenes are about like
I kind of was wondering if you are.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I realize I scream at you sung there's no god a lot. Yeah, and I just want to make sure I'm not offending you.
Actually, I've just been holding in this whole time. I understand that, like, being judgmental, you think it's a powerful thing, but you, more often than not, it's also turned against yourself, and it's just because you're not happy with yourself that you're lashing out on others.
Yeah.
And usually, being judgmental about other people, it's a sign that you're insecure about something in that arena. Mm-hmm. Maybe not that exact same thing, but something, like, adjacent. Mm-hmm. To what you're judging them about.
Yeah, that's interesting.
When I was younger, like have we talked about like being mean as children on the podcast before?
I don't know. We've definitely talked about it in person. Yeah.
Okay, I definitely haven't revealed this to you in either situation. I remember this very vividly. I was like a mean middle schooler.
Really?
Yeah. You might not see it now because I'm so nice.
You're pretty nice.
Oh, thank you. Okay, I was being sarcastic, but I hope...
I,
okay.
I know you were, but I'm not. I think you're pretty nice.
Thanks. But in middle school, I was, like, really mean. I remember... I don't know if it was just the norm or if it was just me.
And you were a bad pair. Sorry. I wish I hadn't said it, but... Just, yeah.
I hope it wasn't just me. I hope it was the culture around my middle school, but...
Right.
I'm just going to assume that it was the culture.
They were asking for you to be mean.
No. Yeah, they were asking for it.
Mean culture.
Yeah. Oh, God. I think people would just call each other idiots. Or maybe would call other people idiots. I don't know. It's really... I can't remember. Maybe I've repressed it. But I remember
Well, you have
time,
talked on the podcast about telling other people that you think you're smarter than them. So...
To be more specific, I've talked about me telling my therapist that I thought I was smarter than her. But... I remember, like, during this small classroom setting, I had called someone else an idiot, and then a teacher pulled me aside and was like, hey, that's not okay. And I felt so much shame for that.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was the turning point or...
Or you became meaner after that.
Yeah, they didn't... Yeah, then I started calling people fucking idiots after that. I'm very much scared that deep down at my core, I'm still a mean middle schooler who calls people idiots.
Yeah.
Were you...
Was I also mean? I was sometimes... I think I was the same amount of mean as, like, the average middle schooler who, like, knows they're, like, kind of smart, but thinks they're smarter than everybody.
Yeah.
When you're not.
Yeah.
And, I was definitely mean to some people, but people were mean to me.
People were mean to me, too.
So, I mean, I was nice to my friends. Mm. I was never a bully. I was just, like, you know, people would be mean to me, and then I would be mean to them back.
Right.
I don't think I was one to be mean first, other than, like, behind someone's back, maybe because it's a very gossipy... time. That's when you start to be gossipy, is like when you're a preteen.
Yeah. Have you ever like gossiped about someone and then like turned around and they were behind you?
I feel like probably. I feel like that has happened where I've talked shit and it immediately backfired.
Right.
And it like fills you with deep shame.
Yeah.
That deep shame feeling, it's such a pungent feeling, you know? Yeah. Like it really yeah.
Pungent feeling is the name of my poetry collection. Yeah. And I think it's that shame that has propelled me to like try to not be actively mean.
Yeah.
In my day-to-day life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if we're jumping the gun, but should we just read my scene?
Sure, if you're ready.
Yeah, and then we could talk.
Oh, we'll talk about it more after. Yeah. Oh, I can't wait for this. I'm already seeing things that I am happy to be seeing.
Awesome. Okay. Look, this isn't that great of a scene. I wrote it last minute.
All right. But we don't have to.
Okay, you're right.
We don't have to qualify it. We always write our scenes less than an hour before we're here. So it's just disclaimer in case anyone is surprised, right? If that's rocking anyone's world right now, I feel like, wow, I really thought.
Yeah.
Because we're done months in advance because the quality
is impeccable.
Yeah.
Okay. It takes place at a cafe in heaven. Okay.
Mine's at a coffee shop.
Whoa, okay.
Wow, all right. Synchronicity.
Oh, boy. Interior, cafe in heaven, day. Yusung and Jesus are sitting at a table. There's a stack of papers between them marked application to heaven. Yusung?
I'm so glad I get to be Jesus. Oh, my God.
I'm playing myself. So, all in all, that's why I think I should be accepted to heaven.
This is interesting. Please be honest with me.
Of course.
Do you think you're a good person?
Yes. I think I'm kind to other people, and I hate myself, so, you know, I don't really put myself above other people.
What about your friend Ryan?
That talentless piece of shit. I can't believe he got that writing job over me. Okay, well, that's just one case.
What about your friend Tia?
She can go fuck off. I can't believe she said that one weird thing at a party to me once. Look, Jesus, these are just people that I don't get along with. And it's not like I'm this judgmental when things are trivial.
What about Evan?
Who the fuck posts that much on Instagram? Long pause. I'm sorry.
Why don't you turn around?
Yusung turns around and everyone that he has talked about is standing behind him. The cafe in heaven disintegrates and he and Jesus are now in the middle of a coliseum with everyone. Thousands of people who Yusung has judged are watching from the stands.
Yusung, it turns out you're not a nice person. You're not anything you thought you were. You're just a big meanie.
The crowd unanimously gives a thumbs down. The sand beneath Yusung's feet disappears, and he falls slowly to be forever condemned in hell.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Dude, I cannot wait until we read my scene because the similarities are astounding.
Really? Holy shit.
Not about the topic, but about a lot of things. This is so spooky.
Not to get off.
It's our Halloween episode.
not to get too meta, but like, I think I was inspired by the science fiction elements of your last scene, which is why I...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
My talking bugs.
Yeah. Hey, if you've listened to all these episodes, I hope these callbacks are rewarding in some way, because other than that, I would just feel bad. Yeah, I'm just worried. You know that thing? This is something that I've judged other people for, too, ironically. Like, but I've also thought myself, the thought, oh, I hate myself so much. How could I be mean to other people? Like, how could I be a bad person if I think so lowly of myself? But it doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't.
You can hate yourself and be a dick to people.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, like...
Even more so.
Even more so, because you're so self-centered and, like, you don't consider other people's thoughts or emotions.
I don't know if it's because I maybe lack self-awareness, but I also hate myself.
Cheers.
But love myself, you know. I hate myself, but... And when I was little, I saw like a piece of paper that had a list of like sayings on it. And one of them was
like on the street.
No, I think it was on a fridge somewhere. Like, gotcha. I don't remember where, but it was, you know, like meaningful things that, you know, people say to like make you go, oh, I never thought of it that way.
Right.
And
in the papyrus font.
Yeah, exactly. And this one was, it was exactly what you were talking about, where it's like you dislike qualities in other people that you dislike in yourself.
Yeah.
And that's true. But also, I dislike things in other people that I would never myself have attribute to myself. Like, I dislike things about other people specifically because it's the opposite of how I feel I am. And I am opposed to that way of being. And so when somebody behaves in a way that is irritating to me, sometimes it's because I'm embarrassed that I sometimes am that way. And sometimes it's because I'm like, why the fuck would anyone do what you're doing right now? I would never do that.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I don't think it's 100%.
Yeah. I've had this like, not argument, like conversation with myself. I don't know. But once I had the epiphany that, like, oh my God, I'm judging someone and it's actually just about myself, then I was like, oh no, my judgments are about myself.
Right.
But then the saving grace is, hang on.
well, there.
Some of these are truly, like, not guilt. I was going to say guilt free. But like.
No, but like, they don't reflect you.
Right.
It reflects the opposite of. I really believe this.
Yeah.
Because I can immediately think of people in my mind that I feel like I'm sometimes talking in the mic and sometimes not.
Oh, that's fine.
I feel like I can immediately picture certain people and behaviors, and I can identify instantly which things I'm like, I hate that, and oh my God, I'm so embarrassed because I remember being like that at various times in the past and in the present, or general present, and that's embarrassing, like that, because I'm seeing now how douchey that looks or how stupid that looks, and I've done that. But there are other times when people are doing something and I'm like, are you crazy?
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
We did it.
We did it.
I don't know. This is the most, like, I feel like, not to toot our own horns. Oh, God. I don't know. This podcast shouldn't help anyone.
Certainly not.
Yeah. But
you're not alone.
Hey, if you're...
Can we put a sprinkle, like, sound effect there? Like, the more you know.
Yeah. You're not alone. You're... but this won't help you.
You're not alone. You're here with us, and we're terrible.
Yeah. But that's the thing. I'm generally... Because, like, we are... Hang on. I am judgmental to you. That's not to say I'm judgmental of you, as in, like,
no,
I judge other people to you.
I'm sure you judge me too. You just won't say it to me. You're squirming so much right now.
Whoa, hang on.
I know what you're saying. You're judgmental about other people to me.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Rebecca.
You're actually judgmental about me to me as well, because you'll accuse me of being a bad person when I am not.
Hang on. I point out when you are bullying me, when you are bullying me.
And then I point out that you love it.
Right. So, and we get nowhere.
And we get nowhere.
Yeah. But I'm trying to be less judgmental.
Yeah.
It's probably not.
Like, I also want that for myself. And that's what I was thinking about this morning. I didn't wake up and I think, you know who's a judgmental bitch? Yusung. But also, like, that would be, that'd be the incredible antithesis of the point.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think we should, this is truly not helpful to anyone else that's listening, but like the next time we are being judgmental about mm-hmm. someone to each other, should we yeah. say anything? Should we point it out?
I think, you know how I want to get that rubber band. I need to go out and get that rubber band for every time I apologize. And I want to, yeah. I need one for the other wrist. That's every time I think a shitty thought about another person.
Have you ever done that? Have you ever put a rubber band and then snapped it on your wrist and then snapped it to hurt yourself?
No, I just think about it a lot. Mm. I think I have before, but it was incidental. Like I had a hair tie on my wrist and mm. I've never intentionally decided to do that.
Right.
But that's I'll threaten it all day. no, but I, it's really hard because I think this is like going back to like how we are as kids. I know for me, it was always important in any context. Like I just always wanted to make people laugh. Yeah. So, and I didn't realize that that's what I was trying to do, but I always wanted everyone to think that I'm the funny one. Right. And to me at a certain, when you're not old enough to, when you're old enough that your humor isn't just about pure whimsical silliness, which is like when you're really young, mm-hmm. but then you're not old enough to like understand like nuanced witticisms.
Right. You're
like,
hair.
you're just discovering being mean and like how mean can be funny. Mm-hmm. And I would get a good reaction if I like, you know, got into like an argument with somebody or like it was like a humorous conversation and I won by being like a little meaner or like I could, you know, get yeah. that last jab in. And if that got a good reaction, I didn't realize this at all at the time. Just thinking back, like, it's like a pattern of behavior. Like you get right. positive reinforcement and then you just do it more.
Holy shit. I just realized that like. When you're little and you're being mean to people, mm-hmm. you're just working the room. Like,
yeah, yeah. Like, it's literally.
You're truly like, hey, where'd you get that shirt from, you asshole?
Yeah, exactly. Except so you're just like being, wants. You're just being like a roast comic.
Yeah.
Which I, as a, like a preteen or and a teenager, like I was very good at that. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, I'm embarrassed now.
I would say that you're still good at that.
I know. I'm still embarrassed. I was gonna say it's based on the
way you treat me.
Right. It's a skill that I know I have and mm-hmm. I wish that I was better than it always as opposed to just some of the time.
Have you been thinking something about me this whole time and you haven't said it?
No.
Okay. All right. Cool.
No, I am not constantly thinking shitty things about people. Yeah. I am constantly aware of people's behavior because I'm just obsessed with it.
Right.
But I think what hit me was I was watching, this is so weird, but I was watching a wedding video on YouTube, like a video of like, no, but it's like people, it's like musicians on the internet that like, it's like people who are not, they're strangers to me, but they're not strangers to the internet. You know, it's like people know who they are.
Wait, so this is just like a musician playing at a wedding?
No, it was like these two musicians who got married.
Okay,
right?
Okay.
So, and then it's like an intimate wedding, but it was like they posted a wedding video on the internet.
Gotcha.
And I was just like randomly on YouTube and I was in this like rabbit hole of watching videos and this right. was one of them that I ended up watching. And it just like people saying nice things about, you know, the two people. And it hit me like when I hear people saying really nice things about people, either at an event or like at a funeral.
Yeah.
Or whatever. I'm like, no one's going to say that about me.
Oh my God.
And I just start feeling really paranoid that like no one will say I'm a good person.
Right.
And well, I'm like, I don't know. And that's what part of why I was thinking about that today.
Do you have a hard time accepting compliments?
Sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah.
Which is,
it makes me uncomfortable. I don't know why.
There's something, I don't know if it's vulnerable or just like, if just someone's genuinely being nice,
yeah.
something about that feels like either like way too vulnerable, like, or
yeah.
transparent. Or
I always like, I'm always thinking like, what are they trying to do? Like,
yeah,
what's,
yeah.
The
yeah, what's the
ulterior motive?
Yeah.
Like, are they trying to make me feel bad by complimenting me?
Yeah. It's the
healthy
high five, download too slow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, where's the catch? Like, what's the, yeah. you're trying to trip me up.
Right. Oh God.
I don't think that every time. It depends on the person and the context.
Right.
Which you could say about literally everything. But sometimes, yes, I do feel like instantly like uncomfortable. Like if someone says, like I was hanging out with like a really good friend last night and she was like complimenting me. And I was immediately
humble brag. No, sorry. This is that's the, literally the worst thing that I could say.
No, but I was in the moment. I was literally like, first I was like, oh, thank you. And then I was like, stop. Like, yeah, I just can't, like, I was like, okay. Like, no, it was like nice. And like,
yeah,
you know, we compliment each other, you know, and right, that's fine. But even in the moment, I knew it was completely genuine. There was nothing. There's nothing bad beneath that. But I myself have a hard time.
Yeah.
Do you, are you the same way?
Yeah, of course. Like, yeah. Rebecca just reached for the water.
And but I knew it would make noise.
But then, like,
I'm actually fine.
Yeah, but pulled her hand away because of pure professionalism.
Mm-hmm. I'm nothing if not a pure professional.
Meanwhile, not to get too off topic, but I've just been, like, putting the mic away and wincing because my stomach still hurts. Of course, I cannot accept when someone compliments me because, like, yeah, I don't believe that about myself, and it's a very difficult skill to just, like,
yeah,
just take someone's compliment and just, like,
curl and just sit in it.
Yeah, and just sit in it.
Well, because I think for me, what it really is, it's not so much about myself. It's like, I don't want to be perceived as, like, full of myself by willingly, right, accepting the compliment. Like, part of me is like, you have to reject it because you have to be humble.
Right.
But it's like, it's so meaningless.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a girl I went to high school with that no matter what, every time she would see, she didn't just do it to me. It was like everyone knew that she did this to everybody,
mm-hmm,
and which made it even less meaningful, that she would just be like, oh, I like your shirt.
Yeah.
Or like,
yeah,
oh, I really like your shoes. Or one time it was like, I was talking to her and she was like, like scanned me up and down to look for something like, oh, I really like your
oh no.
And I'm like, that made me a little sad, not, yeah, for me, because I was like, oh, these compliments mean nothing because I already knew.
Yeah.
But I'm like, do you have nothing to say?
Right.
You don't have to, like, it almost made me think, like, what happened to this? Like, why does she feel like she needs to start a conversation with a compliment in order for someone to want to talk to her?
Right.
I was like, I was happy to just be like, hey, what's up? You don't have to. I don't need this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and then, but then I feel obligated to compliment back. So it's like this reflex. My really good friend, from high school, she's terrible at compliments. She never compliments people.
Yeah.
And she hates, like, when people compliment her because she's like, what the fuck am I supposed to say? Like, nice clothes? Like, I don't fucking care what you wear. Like, and she's very, like, cool and stylish. And, like,
yeah,
people will always compliment her because she always, like, looks cool.
Yeah.
And then she'll always be like, okay, thanks. And, like, she'll never return the compliment.
That's awesome.
Which I think is awesome, but it's also, like, then anytime I want to say something, because I'm just instantly, if I see something and, like, if I've never seen her wear something before, like,
right,
I just instinctively want to say that something is cool because, like, I genuinely mean it. But
yeah,
then I, like, sometimes I just think about it twice. I'm like, I don't want to make her uncomfortable. And I just don't compliment her. Sometimes I do, but
yeah. I honestly feel the same way about a lot of that. There have been too many times in my life where I feel like people have said compliments and have not meant it. Like,
right,
either because the social situation calls for, let's all compliment each other, and that's my nightmare, right, because there's no, yeah, way all of these can be genuine. Like,
yeah,
if ever three or more compliments are strung together at once, something's fucked.
Yeah, like something's wrong with that person,
or just systemically. I don't know.
Right.
This is why I deserve to be alone, I think. but yeah, maybe
yeah,
it's an issue of not trying to be judgmental and being better at, like,
yeah,
having a more holistic lifestyle.
I know. I feel like you probably want to move on, but I want to keep talking about this because it's interesting to me. What's the, like, relationship of, like, compliments to, like, people in your family? Like, did you grow up with a lot of
no
compliments or none, or, like, what is the deal?
Fucking none.
Right.
Listeners, if you want to write letters of condolences after I say this next sentence, feel free to. God, worst human being. Like, my parents, I played piano for most of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to, like, ask my parents, and it's, like, different because it's cultural and first generation,
yeah,
immigrants, but, like, mm-hmm, I had to ask them to be like, hey, you guys proud of me? Like, can you just say that?
Right.
And I understand it's unfair. I grew up watching episodes of Full House where good job and I'm proud of you were thrown around. Like,
but that makes me nauseous, and I wonder if it's because of the same
thing. Yeah, I don't know. And like, obviously, like, they never had to like do that, or they probably didn't get it from their parents either.
Right.
And so like I was in a desert of compliments.
You just didn't know how to take it.
When
happens, you're like, what is this thing?
Right. Because, I guess historically I had to ask for it.
Yeah.
What was your...
Weird combination of things, because one side of my family, I'm a first generation American, and they're all from Russia or former Soviet Union. And on the other side of my family, well, because it's technically not... Now it's Ukraine, whatever, it doesn't matter.
Gotcha. Sorry for laughing.
No, it's just because it's like semantics. But on the other side of my family, they're all American, and for a few generations.
Mm-hmm.
And culturally, the difference could not be more drastic. And
are they always trying to read each other's emails?
I know everyone comes here for that political, that sharp political humor.
Yeah.
So part of me was raised, so I'm half raised in my brain is like half one way, half the other way.
Yeah.
And a lot of the stereotypes about Russian people are true, in terms of the way that they handle emotion is just different than Americans.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
It's very American to be like fake for no reason.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
Russians are never fake for any reason. They're just really the stereotype of being like blunt and like saying things that might hurt your feelings, but because it feels more useful to say something.
Yeah.
What they think is constructive.
Same with China, might I add.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The culture, there are a lot of similarities. And so not that I didn't get compliments from my mom's side of the family, but it's just not, it's like there's more criticism. There's a lot of criticism. And on my other side of the family, there was just like a lot, not from my dad, but from, well, it's mixed, but from my like grandma and my whatever. It's like a lot of compliments, to the point of like ad nauseum, to the point where I'm like, I don't believe you.
Yeah.
And it's also like, also gross. Like, it just so much love, to the point that like, I'm not capable of accepting that level of that type of love. Like, it's makes me uncomfortable. It like ties to the thing I think I talked about a few episodes ago, where it's like, even with family members, like if someone would like hug me too long or like give me a kiss on the cheek or something, like I would recoil, not because I have any ill will, but because it just, there's something about it that I'm like, I don't respond well to. And part of that is like the compliments and the, oh, you're so this, you're so that. It's because I don't feel that way about myself. So if I'm being told all of these like amazing things about myself, I'm like, you have bad taste, or I don't trust your opinion now, because you're saying this about me and I know for a fact it's a lie.
Right.
But they don't think it's a lie necessarily, but.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Because both sides of my family are Chinese, but I have gotten both like the hypercritical, like, you got to do better.
Right.
That was
hypercritical. You got to do better.
I realized I wanted to lessen the blow on myself.
Right.
Okay, I've gotten both the hypercritical, fuck you,
right,
do better.
Yeah.
And like, if you can't do it, nobody can, like, type
right,
of.
Right, right, right. Just thinking you're a genius.
Yeah.
Like,
hey, if you're a parent and you're listening to this podcast and you're.
Stop child, telling your kids they're amazing, because they're not. If a parent tells me their child is a genius, I will scream at the top of my lungs, you lie.
Don't do both, because it's so damaging. It gives your child a critical perspective, thank you, but fucks them up forever.
Right, because now I'm super critical, and
yeah,
I'm super like, and it affects different many relationships, various relationships in my life that I grew up with, like, yeah, my mom is super critical, and so I can be super critical to the point of like, okay,
yeah,
you get it. Like, yeah. So it's hard to turn that part off, because I'm constantly criticizing myself too.
Right.
So it's just, I can take it. Why can't everyone else take it? You know, it's so not no one wants. So I try to, I try to just shut up most of the time, but it doesn't really work.
Yeah. The fact that we work together and sit across from each other is not.
We're just ping ponging this just toxic ping pong ball. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All good right. scene, man. Yeah,
thanks, man.
Take the fucking compliment.
Okay. We'll be right back. Not because we have any ads or sponsors, because it's really hot and I got to take off my sweater.
Yeah.
All right. See you soon.
Welcome back.
All right. Well, welcome back.
Can our theme song be Freak on a Leash?
Oh my God. Yeah, we want to freak people out before listening to this.
I'm freaked out.
Welcome back to the show. I'm still struggling with this whole pear situation.
How are you doing? How's your stomach?
It's okay. It just hurts a lot.
If you need to lie down on the fainting couch behind you.
Oh, yeah. And you can tell me I'm hysterical.
Yeah. Do you want me to make you a little fan? These windows don't open, right. I don't think, so...
Yeah. Anyway,
yeah.
Rebecca, hey, what's your anxiety for the week? This podcast is such a bad idea. I understand that it has been such a dramatic shift from you saying it's a bad idea to me saying it's a bad idea.
I still think it's a bad idea. Okay. I'm just tired. I just got tired of saying it over and over again to nobody agreeing with me. So.
Well, I'm in the same boat now.
Thank you.
All right. What's your...
Meet me at my level. What's happening? Ugh, I'm having an annoying week. We didn't actually talk about what kinds of weeks we're having, but...
Oh, yeah, we didn't.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You had that pear thing going on. It's been really... It's been tough for all of us.
Yeah.
It's affecting all of us. This pear nonsense. You should sue the place where your parents bought it from.
It was like a nice Chinese supermarket.
Fuck them. Take them down.
Yeah.
I'm so annoyed by so many things this week that are just
are we doing a recap of our weeks?
No, this is about my thing.
Okay.
I'm just like, I just want people to stop calling me.
On your phone?
On my phone. I want everyone to just leave me alone.
Yeah.
By everyone, I actually just mean my family, who I'm sure have found this somehow and...
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, cry about it.
Do you just mean your family? Because I
just
you.
Mean my family.
Oh, okay. Because we've also both been getting, like...
Oh, yeah.
Those, like, annoying spam calls from numbers.
You know what? Let's chat about that just really briefly.
Yeah.
Every fucking day...
Tell them.
Every day for the last... many months.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've had a lot of spam calls before that, but in the last few months, every day I get a phone call from a number that has my same area code and the same first three digits of my phone number post area code. And I don't understand why someone thinks that because I see a phone number that's almost identical to mine, I would want to pick it up. What do I think? I'm like, oh, my doppelganger is calling me from another dimension. Like, I better pick up.
Right.
Like, I don't pick up based on if the number looks real cute.
Can I say something?
Yeah, please.
I picked up like the first few times because like the first few times.
I know you did. You told me about this.
The first few times it does seem like,
the first couple times you're like, oh, it's for my area code. Like maybe could it be like my old dentist like calling me? But no, because I have that number saved and I know that's not it.
Right.
No, you. I
and
understand.
You Skype with your dentist.
I understand the area code trick. Yes, I understand the area code trick.
Uh huh.
Because if you live out of town from where you grew up, and you still have a phone number, like you think, oh, maybe it's somebody letting you know about something. Okay, that I get. I don't understand the trick of the first three digits of the actual phone number after the area code because I don't know anybody. Who has the same first... I don't understand why would that convince me to pick up the phone?
Right. Why did it convince me to pick up the phone?
Well, you're more gullible than I am.
Maybe you just wanted to talk.
Yeah, maybe you're just lonely. Like, just need to hear a human voice. And it's not a human voice. It's a robot's not. Voice.
Rebecca, what's your anxiety?
Okay, so I... Can I actually... Legitimately?
Yeah. The floor is yours.
Thank you so much. I have... Currently on my phone, I have 150 unlistened to voicemails.
Holy shit.
Dating back... The oldest one is from...
Keep this in.
February.
Don't edit this out.
It's from February 2016.
Are these all from your family?
They're all from my... Yes.
Holy shit.
They're all from my grandmother, my mom, my dad. And then there's like one or two outliers that are just randomly other people that I ended up like texting with them. So I didn't need to listen to the message.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What do they call you about? Just to see how you're doing?
I mean, who fucking knows? Like, no, I mean, I know what... Yes, I mean, they're calling me for various reasons, and I ultimately end up speaking to them.
Yeah.
At some point after this message is relayed. But
right.
Listening to the voicemails, even the thought of hitting the button to listen to it, makes me feel so ill, because I'm so just anxious about what, like...
Oh, shit.
I feel guilty.
Yeah.
So... Like a year and a half ago or 2 years ago, I got a new phone, and my old iPhone, I had voicemails saved, like certain ones that I like to keep because they're sentimental or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I have them saved now on my computer. Anyway, so I had like, before I was transferring my stuff over, I was like, oh, I had a lot of unlistened to voicemails on that phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, fuck, I should probably listen to these before they're deleted forever. So I went through, and that's the worst thing you can do is, first of all, don't save up more than 5 voicemails at a time.
Right.
Especially not over the course of over a year, and then decide, I'm going to listen to all of these at once, and it'll take me probably an hour.
Yeah.
Or more.
Jesus.
And it was such an emotional roller coaster. It's a lot, like, it was really, really depressing.
Mm-hmm.
And, it made me feel so bad. And I was like, I vow to never let that happen again. Got the new phone. Now I have 150 unlisted messages that have over the course of the last year and a half, closer to 2 years.
Wow.
So
you haven't listened to any of them.
No, they're marked unread. I have 150. They're 150 marked unread, unlistened to.
Oh my God.
Yes. I have other ones that are listened to, but I have 150 unlistened to.
Gotcha.
And I just, some of them are 4 seconds long, and some of them are 4 minutes long, like, you know.
Yeah.
And I just, and then there the text messages, those I get, you know. I always say to people, please just fucking text me.
Yeah.
I don't want, if you call me and I don't pick up, please don't leave me a message. Please hang up and text me, because I do not want to listen to the message, because it makes me feel sad. Text me and I'll see it, and then I'll decide if I can respond or not. But I just can't. I've going through a lot of shit with my family this past 2 years.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it just gives me nothing but grief, these phone calls. Right. And messages, like, and I really don't want to deal with any of them on any day.
Yeah.
At all. And that's very sad, and it's depressing.
It's definitely difficult.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before too, but do you think it's an issue of being too accessible?
Well, no, because I've made myself very inaccessible. I moved 3,000 miles away.
Yeah.
I moved to a different time zone.
Mm-hmm.
So I always have this built-in excuse, which I don't, most of the time it's real. Like, by the time I remember that I have to call someone back, it's 10 p.m. my time. By the time I remember, I got home, I made dinner, I got some time to myself to like unwind after work. And I'm like, okay, now I have to make a phone call. Oh, fuck. It's 1 or 2 in the morning.
Right.
In New York. And yes, I know for a fact my mom and grandma are both awake at that time. I don't want to have the conversation. Now I'm tired, and I don't want to talk to someone who's been awake until 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
Because that's a mindset that is difficult to deal with. And so for me, the time difference is actually very challenging. It's not a fake excuse. It's like, I really, like, my day is structured a specific way, and I'm only available in specific windows, and those windows don't always align with somebody in a different time zone.
Yeah.
But then there are plenty of times when I'm just fucking busy. I'm not in the mood, and I just don't answer.
What were some of the messages that you you don't have to get into specifics, but on that spree where you just sat for an hour and listened to
it. It's really bad. Just like messages from my grandma that are just like telling me how much she loves me and how come I never call her back, which is not true. Like, we talk regularly. So yeah. It's like the guilting. It'll be like, we'll talk probably once a week or maybe a little less, maybe once every 10 days now. Mm-hmm. We used to talk maybe a little bit more, but the fact that like she'll call me 3 times in a row or 2 days in a row, and it's like, I know it's not an emergency and I know that I will speak to her in a couple days.
Yeah.
And I know that that's sent to anyone listening who doesn't know me and doesn't know my family or anything. I sound like a bad person. And I know that.
I think you sound like I don't know, but your family.
Yeah. But
yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, I understand people get old and you move away and you need to appreciate them, and they love you, and you just, you know, I get all of that. But also, like, a lot of it is fucking exhausting. Yeah. And a lot of it is like guilting. Like, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And then the conversations with certain people, it's just like talking about the same stuff over and over again.
Right.
And I don't have anything really interesting to report. And most of the stuff that people are talking to me about, it's like, I know it sounds so cold, but to me, it's an obligation at this point.
I think the majority of people will relate to this.
I feel really bad, though.
Okay.
I feel really guilty.
I don't, like, talk to my grandparents that often on either side of my family, because they all speak Mandarin. And while my Mandarin's okay, it's not great. So I, like, forget about, like, every week. It'll be like, oh, it's New Year's.
Right.
How's it going?
Yeah.
Nervous laughter and saying yes, even because I can't understand. And then
really
throughout the rest of the year, I have an alarm every Wednesday at like 3 p.m. because it'll be 6 a.m. in China. It's like, call your grandparents.
And every day?
Every week.
Oh, and every week.
Usually don't.
Yeah.
Like, as in like almost, I did it once. Like.
Yeah.
So I understand that guilt. It is insane. Like,
yeah.
A mountain of voicemails.
Yeah, and it's just a visual reminder constantly. And I can't bring myself to just delete them without listening to them, because what if there's something that I would want to keep in there? Like, what if there's something really nice that... Or I always think, like, you never know what's going to happen. Jesus and what if you want to save someone's voice because you never get to hear it again? Like, you want to, like, hold on to it.
Yeah, that's a... Holy shit, like,
that's really stressful.
The idea of, like, the unknown
as part of the whole... And it's so much... Yeah. And a lot of times when I was listening through that mountain of voicemails last time, there were multiple ones that were just... They were just super nice. Mm-hmm. There was nothing, like, I didn't make... They just made me feel happy. They were nice, but I felt sad that I didn't pick up. But it was actually nicer that I didn't, because then I had this message that I could keep that was actually very sweet. And then I know that, like... Within a few days, I spoke to that person, and everything was fine. There was no issue. There were other ones that made me feel really sad. And there were some that were just like, I guess you're not here. Call you back later. Bye. And then it was like, fine. So I was like, okay, I could most of the time, if I just fucking listen to them as they come in, like right away, like as soon as I have a moment to do it, and then I listen to it, and then I could either text that person or call later. It would take a real load off my mind. But now I'm too deep in 150. I would have to really devote an afternoon to like not only taking the time to listen but also dealing with like the emotional repercussions and also like if I wanted to transfer any to like this folder I have on my computer of like voicemails I've saved. It's just
I know this is like the perfect wrong thing to to ask, but do you think you'll ever do that?
Like, yeah, no, I definitely will. I mean, I did it last time out of necessity. I will do it this time. Oh, you mean, do you think I'll ever just start listening to them normally?
Like no,
a normal person?
No.
Like go through these.
But like also maybe like just do like 10 a day or something.
Yeah, I probably won't do 150 in one day because I'm like actually worried that I would.
Yeah, because I'm concerned.
Do something bad to myself. But
put away all your rubber bands before you.
Yeah, seriously. My arm will be covered in rubber bands.
Oh, God.
Huh. I do not want to promote. I don't consider that self-harm. I just want to be clear that I do not promote self-harm in any way. Yusung does all the time.
Okay, hang on. I do not promote self-harm.
Please call your therapist if you are having feelings. Any feelings. But especially feelings of self-harm. Anyway.
Want to read your scene?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
I it's really, really funny to me. The
similarities?
Yeah. Yeah. It's really spooky, actually. What if this just starts happening normally now? That'd be weird.
That'd be weird.
Then we probably have to stop hanging out.
Okay.
All right. You're going to have to be a couple different people, but...
Okay. I'll say the name of the character before I have the line.
Interior coffee shop day. Rebecca steps up to the register. The barista smiles at her.
Barista. Hi there. What can I get for you?
I'll take a... Rebecca's iPhone lights up in her hand with an incoming call. The screen says, Mom. Rebecca presses the lock button a few times to ignore the call. Sorry, I'll take a venti iced... The phone lights up again. This time it says, Grandma. She ignores the call. The woman standing behind Rebecca begins to look agitated and starts clearing her throat.
Woman. Barista. That was a venti iced...
Green tea, unsweetened. Thanks.
Barista. Okay, that's a venti iced unsweetened green tea. Anything else?
Nope, that's all.
Alrighty, that'll be $3.10.
Okay. Rebecca pulls out her wallet and gets exact change. The phone rings again. This time it says, Dad. Ignores again.
Hang on, we have to talk about that exact change. Okay, later. Barista, I don't mean to overstep, but it looks like you're missing a lot of calls there.
Thanks for letting me know. I had no idea. Rebecca walks over to the waiting area as the woman behind her lunges forward to finally get her order in. Rebecca swipes open her phone and scrolls through her missed calls and voicemails. 150 unlistened to voicemails dating back a year. Calls from Mom, Dad, and Grandma start coming in again, rapidly and all at once. Rebecca sends them to voicemail over and over, but they keep coming.
My God.
A man sitting nearby looks up from his newspaper.
Man, for the love of God, just answer the goddamn phone.
The barista pops her head over.
Barista, why don't you want to talk to your family?
The angry woman from the line shuffles over.
Woman, what if there was an emergency? Man, what if someone died?
A small child appears.
Child, you're a bad daughter.
The calls keep coming in and new voicemails shit, pop Rebecca. Up. Text messages start flooding in. Mom text, call me. I need your help with something. Quickly. Dad text, why aren't you picking up? Haven't heard from you in a while. Grandma text, hi, sweetheart. How's it going? I keep calling, but you don't pick up. Okay, well, just calling to say hi. How are you doing? Okay, I saw a great movie. Want to get your opinion on the ending. Call me back. I can't take this. Strangers from all around the coffee shop start circling around Rebecca.
Strangers, answer your phone. They need you. Call them back. Don't be an asshole.
No. Get away from me. Rebecca turns and runs out of the coffee shop.
Barista. Miss, your iced tea is ready.
They watch as Rebecca runs down the street and falls into an open manhole. Everyone shrugs and goes back to their lives. End scene.
Oh, wait. Holy shit, Rebecca. Not only... I just wanted to genuinely say... I think your scenes are fucking... like, incredible.
Stop.
All right. Here, let me level that with some harsh criticism. Okay. A manhole? Where are we? The 1950s? Okay, all right.
Thank you for balancing that for me.
Holy shit. Also, a few things. The reoccurring theme of your side characters circling up and ganging up on you at the end.
That has happened a couple times now.
I love it. Thank you. The child, you're a bad daughter. Incredible. Also, do you usually get exact change?
No, I don't, but sometimes I do, and it's very satisfying. I wanted to give myself this one little victory.
Worst case scenario for this anxiety, but also this idealized like nugget of
best case scenario for paying for an iced tea. I've been trying to get rid of my extra pennies, so...
Right. Also, okay, not to get too meta, but when the barista says, like, not to overstep, you're missing, like, that's the moment where you realize where the game, what the game is, and it's so funny.
Thank you.
Holy shit.
Yeah, that's been my week.
You don't have to answer if you don't want to, but how often do you talk to, your parents?
It's weird. It used to be very, very regularly. Mm-hmm. Probably like multiple times a week. Yeah. Then I started kind of not reaching out, and then they would call and sometimes I would pick up and sometimes I wouldn't. And so it would be like maybe once a week, then it would be maybe once every 2 weeks. Then sometimes like recently or like every few months, it'll be like every single day.
Yeah.
Not with my dad, with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know. Then I won't hear from her for a while and I won't call. And then she'll be really mad at me. And she's not calling because she's playing a passive aggressive game with me. And then,
oh, just waiting for you to call.
Right. So then I'll call.
Whoa.
Then I'll call and she'll say, wow. Like I'll answer. She'll answer the phone. Wow.
No.
Yeah.
That's
like, sometimes that'll happen. And like, pretty recently that happened. It was like, then we spend the first 6 minutes of the conversation talking about how I didn't call. And then I will start yelling because, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I called. Yeah. So we're fighting about nothing.
Yeah.
Why can't we just talk about what's happening? And then it will be very unpleasant. And then that happened. And then the next conversation, she called me. This was several days later. And I picked up and I was like, hi. And then she was immediately like, hi, how are you doing? Like asking me questions about myself. And like, it was much nicer because it was like, probably she didn't want it to go like how it went the previous time. And it's a little satisfying when that happens because I'm like, you're listening. Thank you. But also it's like, yeah, I'm a dick because I don't call. I don't know.
I think it must be tough for anyone. I can't imagine anyone who, like, as they've grown up, have, like, a good schedule of talking to their parents. Or just, like...
Yeah.
I don't know. Or maybe...
Yeah, I don't know. We were always really close when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard, like, being an adult when your parents split up is very weird. Because what's expected of you is different than when you're a kid. Because when you're a kid, you're just a victim. Yeah. Nobody wants to put any... I mean, this is my assumption. Everyone deals with it differently. Every parent and child is different.
Right.
But when you're an adult, you're different and you have a different understanding of the world. And your people's expectations of you as a participant or not a participant are different.
You have the awareness to think critically about your parents' relationship.
Right.
Which is...
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Which is very confusing. Yeah. And it can, it just really fucked with my relationships with my whole family. Cause it's just, I just am very tired, you know, and I don't have the energy or the time. And the more resentful, I think for me, when I'm resentful of something or if it's something is like bugging me, I just stop caring because now it's like it's being put upon me to care. And I have my own problems. I have my own life. I have my own shit. Like I go to work, I pay my bills by myself and I just figure it out. And I live far away and I don't need help.
Right.
And so the last probably like 2 years, I have changed as a person because I'm more self-sufficient. It's exhausting. So that's why I don't answer the phone because it's a lot of work.
I don't know. A lot of what you said was just really insightful, even if it was just about like...
Mm-hmm.
Your own relationships, but it's like wildly applicable.
It's hard because I don't want to get specific,
right?
And it's hard to get into without getting really specific.
Yeah,
but that's like the best I can explain it in like a general way.
Yeah
Sorry, that's not funny.
No. I'm just wincing because now for our next segment, moderate case scenario for gradual self-improvement, I have to play our dumb sound cue to follow up that.
But
somewhat
it's
serious.
So, it's so soothing. Right. It's like being at a spa.
Here we go. This is a turning point of the podcast. Okay. This is the segment.
Such a downer.
This is the segment where we talk about what we're going to do to improve our lives. Yeah.
You should go first.
All right. Spoiler alert. Neither of us have found therapists. It's fucked up.
God damn it.
Yeah.
But, well, you go first.
Okay. Here's some good things. I have run.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday and today.
Woo!
All my bones hurt.
Uh-huh.
There are a lot of Halloween decorations up. This is really going to date the podcast. But I thought that you would like them because you're a spooky person.
Mm-hmm. Wait, Halloween decorations where?
Like around my neighborhood.
Oh, that is... I do like that. Thank you for calling me a spooky person.
Oh my god, wait, just on the compliments thing, I can also accept really weird compliments. Yeah, like someone once told me you type really fast and I was like, that was
I 100% am with you on this.
Yeah, weird compliments all the way.
I'm great with those. Yeah,
team weird compliments. I also did this like guided meditation thing last night. Mm-hmm. Last night was a Friday night.
Yes.
I did not go out. I did guided meditation.
Guided from an app?
Like a YouTube video. It's because my therapist.
Wow, I'm like really proud of you.
Thank you. My ex therapist. The open wounds. The wounds have been opened again.
Maybe you can Skype. Can't you do a Skype?
I don't know.
Therapy?
Like
a lot of people do that.
Before we like.
Oh, did you have like a real breakup with your therapist?
We set ground rules. I just don't think it would have been. Like, I definitely floated that idea. Or, like,
oh,
just,
and she was like, no, thank you.
She was, the thought of that grosses me out. No, she's a lovely person. Mm-hmm. I dreamed about her spooning me. she recommended this to me. So if you want to look it up, it's called Leaves on a Stream. It's like where you breathe for a little bit and then you just imagine your thoughts on little leaves and
ooh,
they float down a stream.
Well, I think I've listened to this one.
And it's supposed to make you more
is it a
mindful
woman's voice?
I think you can find them in either.
Oh, there was one that I listened to that someone sent me. That's a woman. She was like, listen, I know the accent's going to be a little weird, but like, just trust me.
Yeah.
And it's a woman with like a slightly Southern accent. And I really thought that would put me out of it in a big way,
right,
but it was very relaxing.
I listened to one. The woman had like a Australian accent.
Oh, okay.
Very fun.
My number one requirement when I'm meditating is I want it to be fun.
Yeah, yeah. I want to have a good time. And here's my thoughts after running for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
I have
2 days
mastered
in a row.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm not optimistic. Next episode could very well be I'm deeply ashamed that I haven't run since last episode.
Right. Or, ouchie, still hurts. Can't do it.
Yeah. It sucks how boring the truth is of like, you should exercise once in a while if you want to think more clearly.
Yeah. It's not just about your bod. It's also about your mind. You know, that was just for our friend Land, who loves the word bod.
Yeah.
If he's listening.
Which sucks because I very much liked being judgmental about like, oh, what, you wake up early and go to the gym before work? What are you, some sort of adult? And now I have to.
That's like, the worst insult.
Now I realize that it's probably true.
Yeah, it feels
which
great.
Sucks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
are you gonna look
going
for a therapist this week? You don't have to promise.
I realize it's just a matter of like sending some emails, probably, and like asking if they accept insurance
and new patients. That's the big thing.
As
a lot of places, I was talking to somebody recently and they were like, yeah, I mean, I found a bunch of places that take my insurance and none of them were accepting new patients, so she had to go to some like community center and like college students were helping her, and I was like, I don't want to talk to a college student.
Oh my god,
general or
right. Yeah.
No, I'm kidding, for therapy I don't want I don't want to talk to somebody getting their master's degree. I want to talk to somebody who's been doing this a while,
or for them, like I during college, like when I didn't have an appointment and needed to talk to someone, there was like this program where undergraduates would, and that was
an actual
case of like, I'm smarter than you. Like,
right.
I know how. Yeah. Okay. Wow. You're saying you're really insecure about your intelligence. Yes. You are right. Just destroy me with that.
You're pretty smart, I guess.
Oh, if only I could accept that compliment.
That's why I said, I guess at the end to make you feel more comfortable. That was for your benefit, not for mine. I was going to just let it hang.
Right.
You're pretty smart, but...
Yeah. But those times are just like... Not. I mean, it's still helpful because I got to say what I needed to say. But anyway,
yeah.
I've been talking a lot.
It's all good. I'm interested.
I think I'm going to wait because I was talking to my significant other.
Ooh.
Sorry, listeners. I am off the market. the humor in that situation comes from no one goes to that market. Okay. And she very kindly offered, while I was like, I don't know, like spiraling in front of her, just to like, I can sit with you while you do it, or like force you to do it. That's if that's very helpful. Nice. So I think I might, she's back soon. I think I might.
Yeah, that's healthy. Don't get a therapist. Use your your basically new significant other as your therapist and see how well that goes.
I'm not.
I'm just busting your chops for that one. But
I had that thought of like I probably, the way I interact with people is to like, I'll make everyone my therapist.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fucked up.
It'll be fine. If you call her mommy by accident, then you should get a therapist to talk about why you would do that.
Yeah. I'm so scared now, because now that's in my head. And
if that actually happens, I really do apologize, because it's 100% my fault.
That's okay. I'll tell her about it.
Okay. So. Well, she'll hear this probably.
Okay. Yeah. Rebecca, what are your plans for gradual self-improvement?
So last week after we recorded, I went home and I actually ran some errands and had a very unpleasant experience with an Urban Outfitters mirror.
Oh my God.
And I was like, you fucking piece of shit, you're gonna go home and change into shorts and a t-shirt and you're gonna move your body outside.
Yeah.
And I went on a really, really long walk. I jogged intermittently, but I'm a terrible runner and I hurt myself 100% of the time when I try to run because I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, I've seen you run. You just crab walk everywhere.
Oh yeah, I just on the ceiling.
Yeah.
With my eyes turned completely black.
Yeah.
That's how I stay fit. But I went on a super long walk. I got above 10,000 steps, which to a normal person is like, yeah, big fucking deal. To me is like revolutionary, because the day before that we had a work from home day and I got less than 500 steps. So which is unusual. That's an unusually low number, but my my average is generally somewhere between 1500 and 2500. So it was very like the first time when I did a really long walk, like it really cleared my head. I really turned my brain. I was listening to podcasts. I just turned my brain off, which was great. So yeah, I'm going to keep
your eyes turned black.
Yeah. Sorry. I mean, that's how I know I feel really good. But, no, so I do feel a little bit better because I did that and I'm going to keep doing that. And then because of the week I've had and the scene and everything, I really had a moment 2 days ago where I was like, that was the last straw and I now must get a therapist.
Holy shit.
So I am going to do, I know I've said this every time, but I really know it in my heart this time.
Okay.
I also just paid my credit card bill today and I am a little nervous about having enough money to pay rent and the next credit card bill, and I have to fix some stuff with my car, and I genuinely have no idea how I'm going to pay for therapy.
Yeah.
So it has to be someone who takes my insurance because I have no extra money at all.
Yeah.
So I'm just, that's the main hurdle, is I'm very scared to find a therapist and then be like, fuck, I actually have to stop because I can't afford it.
Yeah.
Mental health should be free.
It really should be free.
It should be free.
I was about to make some dumb political comment, but, and okay, I realize that like this whole podcast, whenever you've said something, I've responded with me.
No, but, same.
I don't know. Yeah. I haven't noticed it. And I'll feel really bad if you get a therapist and I still don't.
Right.
So
right. Yeah. So we have to both.
Yeah. Suicide pact.
Yeah. I mean, if we don't find them, it really will be one.
Oh boy.
We're not doing well.
Yeah. God, I'd feel better from the pair. Like I feel.
You
okay.
Do.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I wonder what the turning point was. Was it admitting that you were definitely going to get a therapist? That's all you needed.
Yeah.
You're free. I'm really happy for you. It's terrible to feel ill from something. It's like in Parks and Rec. Did you watch Parks and Rec?
Yeah.
when Ben eats those tiny calzones and he gets food poisoning, the tiny calzones betrayed me.
Yeah.
I think that every time I have a stomach ache from food.
Thank you for listening, if you're listening.
Sorry if we bummed you out.
Sorry if we bummed you out.
That was fun when Jesus told Yusung he's a bad person, right? Guys, wasn't that fun? I had fun.
Oh, boy. I guess if you want, you can rate us on iTunes.
He's literally folding. He's folding over.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is like hard. It's hard to ask people to do nice things.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All
right. See you next time.
See you next time for some more fun antics.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to episode 4 of Worst Case Scenario. Please rate and review us on iTunes.
And if you're anxious, like us, send us an email at worstcasescenariopod@gmail.com. We just want to know. And follow us on Instagram at worstcasescenariopod.
Our music was done by @notalent, __, on Twitter. And our art was done by @artbyroughhouse, art by ruffhouse, all one word, on Instagram.
We'll be back next week.
See you.